So I titled my message this morning, Can I Really Trust God to Write My Story? And I'll say that I stand here today with less of a prepared lesson and more of just a compiling of journal entries and scriptures that have come right out of my prayer closet. Kind of right out of my, you might call them like the wrestling times with the Lord. You know, when you're calling out to Him and you're asking for answers, sometimes when there doesn't seem to be any to be found. And so out of those times have come these scriptures, which I've held on to and planted my feet on. And so as I have washed my mind with the Word, He has renewed my mind, and He's brought me to a place where I am learning to find joy in every season that I'm in. So seasons, that's what we're talking about this weekend. And we're all in different seasons. Some of us might be entering into, or in the midst of, or coming out of a season, perhaps of great highs, or maybe of great lows. But whether you're sitting here and you're 25 or 75, I think we can all understand the feeling of being in an unwelcome season, one that you perhaps never envisioned. I think we can all relate to having unfulfilled dreams, failed expectations, disappointments, and plot twists that you never saw coming. Maybe you're single and longing to be married, waiting for God to bring that special someone. Or maybe you're married, but your heart's desire is to have children of your own. Maybe you're walking through a difficult patch in your marriage. Maybe there's a career you've always wanted or a level of success that you've always strived for. Or maybe you're sitting here a widow, and this is never how you would have written this chapter of your story. But however it may be, we all have our own story of how life has not gone as we have planned. Now, if we look at the first woman in the Bible, Eve, she lived in circumstances of perfection. When the world was first made, it was perfect. She walked with God. Everything was good. There was no death. There was no sorrow. There wasn't the struggle with sin, a lot of the things that we have going on in our life today. And yet, even still, she became discontent and dissatisfied, and ultimately was deceived, feeling that God is holding back good from me. Have you ever felt this before? At some point in your life, I know I have, thinking, I think God is withholding good from me right now. I remember feeling this way back in high school when I had some unmet hopes, dreams, and expectations. I began to obsess over them, but they became like an idol in my life. And so I went to a youth retreat one year, and the theme of it that year was surrender. And so as I prayed that weekend, I felt that the Lord was asking me to surrender my plans and my desires into His hands. And it's crazy to think, but that was almost 10 years ago. And now it's been a journey ever since of learning how to walk in that surrender. But something that I've learned is that when life doesn't go our way, it can actually be a beautiful opportunity, because it is those circumstances that usher us into an intimate wrestling with God. In Genesis 32, we read about Jacob, who wrestled with God. This happened right before he was going to meet Esau for the first time in years. The last time that he had seen Esau, Esau wanted to kill him because Jacob had cheated him out of his birthright. And here he is bringing his wives and his children, and I'm sure there were lots of fear of the unknown, the future, what's going to happen to me and my kids, my possessions, my family. And so he wrestled with God. And you might wonder, what does wrestling with God look like today? Because that's kind of an odd way to say it. But I would say it's a crying out when you don't understand. Sometimes it looks like expressing your anger to God. Sometimes it's sadness. It's just a real and raw, open time with the Lord. You don't have to hold back. It's often not pretty and can be quite messy, if we're honest. But the result of this wrestling with the Lord creates a nearness and a closeness with Him. Because when you're wrestling with someone, it's like hand-to-hand combat, right? Like you are up close and personal. And so it creates a nearness between you and God. It develops trust because you see God up close and you begin to witness His faithfulness, His character, His goodness right in front of you. And ultimately, there's an identity shift that takes place. So Jacob, after he wrestled with God, he got a new name, which was Israel. And when we wrestle with God, perhaps before we were fearful, but then after we wrestled with God, we realize, I can trust him. I don't have to be afraid. And so there's an identity shift. And if we come to this wrestling with the Lord, willing to surrender, we can't wrestle with God and not come away changed. And so he had to shift my focus. He showed me that I was obsessing over dreams that were very nearsighted. I was focusing on the destination rather than the journey that he wanted to take me on to get there. And so I was focusing on the gifts rather than the giver. Once I get that career, that house, the family, the kids, the white picket fence, then I'm not sure what I thought was going to happen. Then life begins. Then I will be happy. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but none of those things could actually fill the hole in my heart that I thought that they would. And so now I'm going to share some scriptures. I'm going to list out the references. So if you are taking notes and you want to write them down, I'll just list them off and then we'll go through them. So the first one is found in Matthew 6, 33 through 34, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, Psalm 27, 13 through 14, Psalm 23, Philippians 4, 11 through 12, and verse 19, and then Habakkuk 3, 16 through 19. So starting with Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34, this is a verse that the Lord has used in my life many times to kind of self-evaluate where my heart is and check my heart. And so the verse says, "But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so I had to check my heart. Am I really seeking his kingdom first, or do I want my will? Do I really want his will to be done above all else? Because if so, I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I don't need to worry about those things coming true and making something happen. The next scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which I memorized many times as a little girl. But then as I got older, I had to really ask myself, am I really living in it? Am I walking it out? And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And so I had to wrestle with, am I really trusting God with my whole heart? Or am I depending on my own understanding? Do I think I know what's best for my life? I like how it says in the Amplified, it says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." The next scripture is Psalm 27, 13 through 14. And it says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." And this verse came to me during a time when some of those dreams felt like they were coming true. And then suddenly it all started to collapse and crumble. And I wanted to desperately hold on. But I sought the Lord for direction, and I felt that he was calling me to let go of control. And so here again, I found myself at a place of surrender. It felt like an unraveling. It felt like a letting go of control meant that this situation was not going to play out how I had hoped. Letting go of my will to embrace his will and trust that he was not withholding good from me. And so I held on to this verse, and I still do, remembering that while I am still in the land of the living, I will see the goodness of the Lord. And so I will wait on him. I will read the word. I will be at his feet, and I will wait on him. And if you notice, none of these verses promise you'll have everything you want in life. Everything will go as planned. That's not what it promises. But it says that he will take care of you. He will provide for your needs. He will watch over you. He will carry you through. He has good in store for you. He is our hope and our peace, our prize, our possession to chase after. And all through these years, I've often gone back to Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will be with me all of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I've come to find that he really is my gentle shepherd. He has provided for me, he's watched over me, he's led, and he's guided me through still waters, refreshing my soul and realizing that he does know what's best for me. He's walked me through dark valleys, and today I can say that my cup overflows. And so as these truths have slowly sunk in my heart, I have found a deep freedom in understanding that my life, my happiness, my joy is not based upon my circumstances. And so should I never see the fulfillment of my dreams, should my life never unfold how I planned or hoped, I will still be full of joy and peace and will be fully satisfied. And in Philippians 4, 11 and 12, we hear how Paul says, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." And I mean, he had more reason to complain out of anybody. And there were many things that went wrong in his life. But he says, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And he said confidently in verse 19, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Do we believe that? Do we truly believe he will meet all my needs? He sees my needs, he knows what they are, and he will meet them. And so I'm learning to live with my hands open wide, willing to receive and give up what the Lord sees fit, trusting that he is not withholding good from me, but in fact, he has good plans for my life. Plans to lead me and all of us into complete healing and wholeness. And just to clarify, hopes and dreams are not a bad thing. They are a good thing and they can be from the Lord. So that's not the problem. But ultimately, we have to surrender them to Jesus and seek him first above all else. And so I can say this is not how I would have written my life story. And yet, it is so much more beautiful than I ever could have foreseen. And I marvel at the things that he has done in my life. As the psalmist would say, his works are wonderful. I know that full well. I'm learning to see the beauty in God's plan and trust him by letting go of the pen and allowing God to write his story in my life. Now, as I stand here and I share this, I'll say I don't feel qualified to even be up here speaking on this because I know that there are others that have walked through greater pain and difficulty that could address this topic. So I don't pretend to be the expert here. I'm preaching this to myself, nor do I want to take light of the pain that is very real. This is not just five easy steps of how to trust the Lord, and let's just tie a little bow on it and go on our way. These difficult seasons we walk through can be long and grueling, heart-wrenching, and messy. Wrestling with God is messy, but I want to encourage you that he can take it. He can take the messy emotions, the anger, the confusion, the heartbreak, the questions. But this one thing I do know is that I stand here today and can testify that I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life. I have tasted and seen that he is good, and I pray that anything that I would have shared would be an encouragement to you in your season. And this last verse that I'm going to end with is Habakkuk 3, 16 through 19. And Habakkuk is writing this, and he says, "I will wait quietly and patiently for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us." So he was waiting on something. There was a people attacking him, and he said, "I'm going to wait patiently when you will avenge us." But he said, "Even though the fig trees have not blossomed and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Even though everything before him was empty and barren, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And my prayer is that we might have that heart as well, that when we look out in our life or in a situation and we don't see what God is doing, we can remember that he's still at work. Even when we don't see him working, he is at work. And even when it looks hopeless, and even when it looks barren, and even when it looks empty, yet we will rejoice in the Lord. We will be joyful in the God of our salvation, because the sovereign Lord is our strength. And he makes us as sure-footed as a deer able to tread upon the heights. So I'm going to pray to close us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you see all, that you know all, that you have not forgotten any one of us. And I pray, Father, that we would be able to trust you, to trust that you are not withholding good from us in the season that we're walking through, to trust that you have good in store for us, to trust your character and your goodness and your faithfulness, that even when we don't see it, we know that you are working and that you never give up. And so we entrust these things to you. We put them in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you look in your folder, there is a little slip of paper that has some discussion questions for at your table. And it has my name on it under Brianna Hostetler. And you might not have an answer for every question on there, but those are just some questions to help get the discussion started at your table. And really, we want to come alongside each other. If there's something that the Lord is pressing upon your heart, hey, I need to talk about this. I need to lay this at his feet. We want to come alongside you for accountability. We want to support you. We want to pray over you. And so it's just an opportunity for your sisters to come around and encourage whatever the Lord is already speaking to you thus far this weekend. So.